Check, check, 1, 2, 3. Go ahead with your bad self, Nima.
Check. Get away from my meat, Peanut.
Okay, do your normal volume.
Normal volume. This is how I talk normally when I'm at normal volume.
Okay.
All right, welcome one and all to Freedom Fiends Live. I am Nima Vedati, hailing from the great state of Texas in the beautiful city of Austin in the Hill Country. On the other end, we've got Michael W. Dean in Wyoming. How you doing, Michael?
Good. Yeah, I'm an American, but it's an accident of birth. I'm really a stateless human.
Ah, yes. I'm also a Merkin, and I pronounce it Merkin. Correctly. I don't. three syllables. Two syllables. Merkin. Merkin. That's what I am.
Well, Merkin is also a wig for your chest, isn't it?
I think it was your pubis, actually.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It was a wig for, yeah. Just in case you want it to be nice and lush down there, you know, styles change throughout history. And at one point, you wanted it to be nice and lush. But at the same time, you wanted to shave so you didn't have lice. So the market taking care of even your personal grooming needs in your down there's.
Yeah. And we don't call it the free market anymore because that's, it's explained on our glossary page if you want to go. It's just called the market. Because if it's not the market, it's not free. Like what exactly. Republicans and Democrats say about, we love the free market. No, they don't. They wouldn't jail people for selling crack if they did, among other things, and tax people for selling weed.
Right. And not only do they not love the free market, but they don't love the market in general, because what really does the government, the federal government, the state government, government in general, there's very few things they let the market take hold and be the top dog in society. Usually they have some type of government intrusion, whether it be something like licensing or regulatory bodies. They very rarely let the market transactions take place. But whenever there is a market transaction, it's free, because market transaction is defined by a free voluntary exchange between two entities, you know, one or more people on either side.
So I have two suggestions for the name of the episode today. One is, the goal of the Freedom Fiends is to reduce the demand for government until it drowns itself in the bathtub.
Which is a take off. So upset.
Yes.
Nobody which is doesn't a take like off on, me.
Somebody wants some small government.
Grover Norquist.
Yeah,
Grover
Norquist. What do you say? Yeah. What do you say?
He says, I want government to be so small I can drown it in a bathtub. Paraphrasing, but I'm pretty sure that's pretty close to what he said.
And we don't want to come near government or touch it or try to change it in any way. We just
we don't
want to reduce
its status herpes.
We want to reduce the demand for it to the point where it just kills itself in the bathtub.
Nobody loves me.
Yeah, okay, that's one choice.
Well, it sounds ridiculous and funny, but that's true, right? I mean, if nobody wants a government, then a government doesn't exist anymore.
Yep.
And you don't have to drown it at that point. At that point, it just ceases to exist. Its own career gets ended. You don't have to even touch it then.
Where the other one is more serious, but I like it too. And we'll use one. Whatever we don't use today, we'll use another time. The other one is, what is the other one? I don't remember. Oh, yeah, I'm doing great here, live radio.
Good job.
Okay,
Michael.
It's the other one is, anything any government says is hate speech.
Ah, that's a really good one. And
explain
that's
why.
Possibly the title of the, well, why don't you explain why it's yours, but how I would explain it.
Because I don't need to, because you think like I do.
When I first read it, what I was thinking was, yeah, that's so obvious and nobody says it, but the government can do no net positive. There's nothing good the government can do. And when a liberal or a statist or a conservative tries to say, well, we need the government to do this, what the government has to do in order to do that
is hateful.
It's hateful because they have to take money away from others through taxation, and they also have to force people into patterns of behavior that they wouldn't otherwise want to do, which is also hateful. If you want to imagine how it works in real life, just imagine the government, instead of giving them all this godlike status that most people do, just take that away and think of them as just a group of local thugs or a big group of mafia thugs, and then think of the action that they're doing. So if a big group of mafia thugs took your money so that they could donate it to the business next door because the business next door was failing, that would be hateful. You would feel hated.
That'd be far more hateful than what's called hate speech. You know,
right.
Hate speech. And like the definition of hate speech has gone from, you know, what could probably be called hate speech, like saying that certain types of people ought to be wiped off the face of the earth or shipped off somewhere, to like, you know, now it's hate speech if you say like any number of things that aren't even necessarily hateful, just like, you know, someone from a church saying I don't like homosexuals, you know, that's an opinion, that's not hate speech, that's calling for an action.
Did you see the episode of South Park about hate speech?
No, but I love homosexuals. I just want to make that clear. We're not one of those, you know, kind of, I don't love them. Right. I just, they're whatever, you know, it's like guys with blue shirts or red shirts or yellow shirts. I don't care.
If you commit a crime against somebody, well, I guess the South Park thing was about hate crime, but the idea is doesn't matter what's thinking
in
your heart, right? If you and in the South Park episode, Cartman like threw a brick at Token or punched Token, you know, the Token black kid,
yeah,
and he was prosecuted for a hate crime. And they're like, no, Cartman hates everybody. It has nothing to do with hate crime. And if somebody hurts you, it's because they hate you. If they think that low of you to where they'll commit physical violence on you, there's some form of hate there, regardless of whether it's they hate you because you're black or they hate you just because you're you.
So speaking about the connection between hate crimes and hate speech, or hate speech and hate crimes, I want to talk about a movie I saw, but first I want to talk about another movie I saw, because you know, I always mention movies and stuff and you're like, what's that? And everyone goes, oh my god, Nima doesn't know that. And you mentioned Half-Baked and I'm like, I haven't seen that. So I went and watched it. Could be better. It's kind of funny. It's got its moments. Dave Chappelle actually said in Inside the Actors Studio interview that the original script was great, but the producers kind of messed it up and made it into a weed movie for kids.
Well, I was stoned and a kid when I watched it, and I don't think I've watched it since. So it worked for my demographic, you know, 10, 12 years ago, whatever.
Yeah. I do like that there is a character named Squirrel Master in it, who's a crazy old guy. And he's played by Tommy Chong. Did you know that?
I knew that. I knew who Cheech and Chong were when I was a kid, man. They still had cult status.
Okay. And then the guy that plays the Hispanic dude who goes by the name of Scar, the ironic name of Scarface, because he's really like goofy and happy and mellow. He actually plays a really Scarface type dude later, about 10 years later on The Shield. He plays a really heinous criminal mastermind drug dealer who has a warehouse full of grenades that he likes to have his men throw through the windows of other drug dealers' homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's sort of a mix of the two in Weeds, where he's really heinous, but he's got a sense of humor about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And in The Shield, though, he's tortured to death by Vic Mackey for about 24 hours. And it's pretty much the most heinous thing I've ever seen on TV. And you said, well, what about on Breaking Bad when Chicken Man gets blown up? And I'm like, but that's kind of funny. He straightens his tie before he dies, you know? Mm-hmm. It's nothing funny about Garza's death, man. It's
plus I guess in the Chicken Man scene, right? Why are we calling him Chicken Man? The El Pollo Loco, the mastermind behind the meth cartel, he's done some pretty heinous things.
Yeah, he's killed some kids.
It's kind of like a self-defense. I don't remember the exact end of that season and how it worked, but wasn't he on his way to kill somebody in that room?
And you know, I mean, that brings up whole things of like, legally that wouldn't be self-defense. And you'd be go to prison for life for doing it in an old folks home, but and you'd be responsible for the guy who helped you and blew himself up. But you know, it brings into that whole kind of like preemptive self-defense. I mean, Chicken Man isn't the kind of guy you can stop from killing you by pulling out a gun, you know?
Yeah, but the act itself, if you break it down just to the act itself, right, it was the old man who had a bomb on himself or some kind of way to make himself explode, and Chicken Man, El Pollo Loco guy, comes in there to kill the old man, but the old man, instead of getting killed, he blows himself up, which also kills the Chicken Man. So,
which legally, you'd be responsible for his death, but...
Who would be responsible for his death?
Walt.
Why? It was the old man's decision, right? Didn't the old man do it on purpose? It was like the old man was like,
I mean, do you want to even get into this discussion? I don't even want to talk about the moral legitimacy of any of this, let alone the legal implications. If you convince someone to blow themselves up in an old folks home to kill some other dude, they would get you with all the crimes they possibly could, and one of them is you'd be responsible. You've committed a felony where someone else died, so you'd be charged with both murders. That's how they do it. Do you live in such a lib pair that you don't realize? Do you think like, well, Your Honor, I was acting in self-defense, and morally, if I say these magic words, things will go my way? You're not a sovereign citizen, man. You know that.
Oh, I completely know that. But the thing is, for our sake of discussion, and part of the work we try to do is try to explain things, how they would work in the absence of the state.
I think you have to be clearer of the way things are and the way things should be, and you weren't. You were like, well, that would be self-defense. And I'm like, not legally in any country, you know, not in America, not in New Mexico.
Okay, my bad. But when I say would be, that's what I mean. Would be, parentheses in lib pair.
Okay.
Whenever I say would be.
I have a lot to talk about that really doesn't have anything to do with that.
Okay. Good for you.
All right. Conflict is the essence of drama.
You could talk about it very soon. And if you want to hear what Michael has to say, stay with us.
worms.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Well, how about this? Why don't you have the discussion that's the side discussion that I didn't want to talk about? And then when we come back, I have notes. I have scripts for today, man. Scripts.
Okay, so here's my thing. The old man owns his own life, right? I mean, self-ownership is part of the central principle behind the non-aggression principle. So the old man decided through negotiations, yes, and Walt tried to convince him, but it was the old man's decision in the end, and I don't remember him being coerced. He hated El Pollo Chicken Guy. He hated and wanted revenge upon El Pollo Chicken Guy. And so the old man killing himself wasn't an immoral act, either through the old man because the old man chose to end his own life, or through Walt because Walt just tried to convince him of it. El Pollo Chicken Man was on his way to murder the old guy. I don't remember the details of it, but if he had started the process of murdering the old guy, then the old guy was well within morality to push the button on the bomb, right?
Oh, I have no comment, man.
You have no comment? Okay. Well,
I don't know, man. I mean, you really want to sit here and talk.
That's my reading of it.
You really want to talk on a public thing about, like, well, bombs are okay to use, and, dude, they're going to kick down your fucking door if you're even having that thought experiment.
I'm not saying they're okay to use. I'm saying, theoretically, if we look at it through a philosophical lens,
in libpair, bombs will be okay.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
Kind of pulling your chain, but...
Yeah.
Well, anyway. You know, it also gets into, like... preemptive violence, which is what states do, which we say isn't good, which we say is not ethical.
Well, you know? I mean, that's why I'm saying I don't remember the exact details, but in my mind, the El Pollo Chicken Guy started the process of murdering the old guy.
I don't remember the details. How had he started the process?
Like, he was going to stab him, and he had pulled out the knife and was going to cut his throat, or he was going to poison him through gas or something, and so he turned on the gas, and the old man was about to die from the gas. I forget how it exactly worked.
No, he had a syringe. The black dude, his henchman, had a syringe of something he was going to kill him with.
Right, so he had started the process. I think. If the syringe had broke the skin, I guess the process would have started.
I also think it's a really... dubiously ethical way to kill somebody, because you probably would kill any of the old folks in either of the rooms on either side. Remember that sweet old lady that was waving at Walt out the window when he was in the back?
That's a good point. Yeah, I guess you would have to weigh if how big the explosion was, and if the walls were thick enough to contain it within one room. I mean, if it's concrete walls,
it's
like
a pipe
hospitals.
Bomb, man. You can't determine where it's going to go.
Okay, yeah, I guess that's something else to discuss.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's important to have
Walt's,
these conversations.
Walt's a really
about.
Selfish guy who doesn't really have any code of ethics of self-defense. He is all about him and his family.
Yeah. Mark S. says the discussion's meaningless to those who haven't seen the show. Well, go watch the show because it's awesome.
And, you know, I mean, think about, like, Walt's morals. I mean, he got into the meth trade by blackmailing Jesse. He basically said, you partner with me or I'm turning you into my brother.
We're about to go on in about 30 seconds.
All right. So
I'm gonna go ahead and turn the feed on, listen to the feed, and we'll come back.
Yeah.
How can we trust?
Why don't you bring us back since you have things to talk about?
From Midas Resources.
Are you put off by me?
You should too.
Today?
No. Okay. No. Keep up the energy. That's all that matters.
For a free book title.
Right now,
even if we're yelling at each other, I love you, man. I'm not yelling. I have Christmas presents for you too. That you don't have to
putting on a show.
You don't have to give any Christmas presents back. But we got something cool for you.
I hate it when people say that. But here you go. We got after Bang Brothers. We're on.
Well, actually, I already gave you that mixer for Christmas.
That's Facebook. Now, LRN.
No. Yeah, Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, Freedom Fiends. That's how you bring us back. No, you're supposed to be, hey, this is Freedom Fiends Live. Thank
in the
you for
morning.
Joining us.
In the morning.
Yeah. Well, we had a big discussion and argument on the break, which got recorded. So if you want to go listen later, those of you celebrating Hanukkah. Yeah. Somebody said that they can't listen today because it's Hanukkah. So. I guess no enjoyment before sunset or something. How's that work?
I don't know, man. We should. They said that in the chat room. I'm curious.
What, yeah, no.
Can you not do certain things during Hanukkah?
Well, you're supposed to fast, and I think you're not supposed to. Well, today's episode, I would say, is kind of the opposite of enjoyable. So you could probably listen and not enjoy yourself.
Well, maybe it's not an enjoyment thing. Maybe if it's fasting, it's you can't ingest anything, and that includes through your ears, through audio.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. That'd be interesting if it was that way.
Well, after I'm done talking, people can call in. Although they can't really call in and explain it, because if they're really in the know, they're not listening, I think. So, I do have a Christmas present for you. I want to get back to these movies I'm talking about. And I know you hate it when people say, I got a present for you, but I don't want people to, you know, then I say, you don't have to give me anything back. You hate that. But
I hate that. Yeah. It's like, okay, hey, look at this awesome thing I did for you. Hey, but you don't have to do awesome things for me either.
You don't.
If you don't want to.
And I'm actually giving you something I don't want that I was going to throw away, but it's pretty cool. So I'm sending it to you. DJ and I wrote this song. It's called Have Yourself a Compromised Christmas, because I literally hate Christmas. I hate it. It's got to do with bad childhood memories. And even without that, I think at this point in my life, I would not celebrate it. It's a time that gets in my way of doing business with other people. As you said, at all businesses, the people with seniority that know how to run things get 2 weeks off. So everything is run by the idiots who just got hired.
Yeah, that's my memory, at least. Yeah.
And I don't like it. I don't like the forced commercialism. I don't like the blah, blah, blah. I kind of like the pretty lights, but it was like we started to decorate the whole house. And I was like, you know what? I don't like this. And we got in this kind of, not argument, but like, I was like, it hurts me to do this. And she was like, well, I like it, but if it hurts you, let's not do any of it. And I'm like, well, let's do a little of it. So we did a little tiny bit of, you know, put some bulbs out front and then put some lights up inside, but not much. And so I had some cool decorations left over I was going to throw away, but I'm sending them to you. It's basically we want to reduce the size of Christmas until we can drown it in the bathtub.
Well, you do. I have a love-hate relationship. Sometimes I really like Christmas, and I really do love certain parts, but it's just a lot of work when you're a grown-ass man. You got a lot of stuff to do.
I know.
I mean, I got to go shop and put to buying you gifts. I kind of like Hannibal Buress, who's a hilarious comedian, probably my favorite of newer comedians, and he's got this bit. He's like, you know, why don't I just give you the amount of money that I like you? Like, oh, I really like you. Here's $50. I kind of like you. Here's $5. I hate you. Here's a bill for $50. You owe me.
Yeah. So that's Christmas. That's all I want to say. And that's all I'm going to say about Christmas till after.
That's all
it's
I
done.
Have to say about
if you
that.
Can, if you can, you, if you, if you have Christmas stuff later, different days, you can do it. But I'm really done with it. I'm over it.
What do you think about the concept of too commercialized? I'm curious about that. And that's important because, you know, we're anarchist, libertarian, capitalists. We should have something different to say than us.
Well, yeah, I don't mind that people are buying and selling stuff. I mind that I am under pressure by society to buy stuff for people that – because I like to give people stuff a lot. I give a lot of presents to people I really care about. And yeah,
you do.
You know. I can't necessarily afford to do it all at one time. I do it throughout the year, and it's more special and it's more personalized. You know, would you rather have a, you know, cool tube rack mount preamp compressor from me in July, or, you know, a tie on Christmas?
Yeah, that's a good point. It also goes back to, you know, one of the things about economics is, you spend your own money way better and more efficiently than you spend than other people can spend money for you. So if I'm buying you a gift, I might not get something as close to your true desires than if you went
and
out
when
to
you're
buy
shopping for
yourself.
Christmas, you have to shop for a bunch of you're like kind of squeezed by society and a weirdo if you don't do it to buy a bunch of stuff for a bunch of people, and you don't really have time, money or time to put enough like the real kind of true gift stuff planning you put into gifts throughout the year.
It's like you're checking off a list. Right. And there is sort of a whole bubble of goods I feel like are created just for that, so they can be token gifts that don't really make the recipient that happy, but that somebody just has to buy because, oh, I have to buy something for them.
Retail stores plan around that. I mean, literally, like they call Black Friday about Black Friday because it's the day that they go into the black. You know, it's the day that they depend on. Literally. I mean, the economy would fail for a while if everybody stopped buying Christmas presents. But that's not going to happen. It's not going to be a problem.
There's also a horrible thing I find. I don't know if it happens that much anymore, but I remember when I was a kid, inevitably at Christmas, this was mostly with video games, there'd be a shittier video game company that would put out a product with a very similar name to the game you really wanted. Like what's Bone Storm?
Oh, it's the shit. It's the thing that Bart wants on The Simpsons, where he shoplifts, and his dad, Homer and Marge, get him something that's called like Bone Quest. That's not Bone Storm.
Yes, exactly that would happen.
I just
to me
like the name Bone Storm.
One Christmas, I wanted Soul Calibur, and I wanted NFL 2K, and instead I got Soul Fighter. And NFL Blitz 2000.
Oh, no. What Bart gets is Lee Trevino's putting challenge instead of Bone Storm. It's a golf game.
That's right.
And at the end, he tries to play it and he logs on with a name like Butt Munch, and then sets the level of the golf like to the top, and it's Lee Trevino saying, "That is too high." And he like hits the ball and it like goes into the parking lot, and then he turns the game off. Like he just tries to do the most maxed out Bart thing he can do with it, and it's like, okay, I hit a ball into a golf parking lot, I'm done.
Nice.
So
go ahead.
I have some Christmas gift suggestions for people. If you know anybody who's an aspiring podcaster or radio personality like us, I saw three movies. One is Anchorman, which just see it. It's fun. It's got Christina Applegate, you know, my friend Martin's wife, playing a sexy lady. And Nima's probably seen it, and it's got pretty much every comedian in the world in it, in a big brawl in a parking lot where people get their arms cut off.
It's almost required for news reporters of my generation to have watched it and reference it regularly in the newsroom.
Okay, but there's two things that are a lot more useful and not as common in pop culture. One is a movie called Heckler, which is by Jamie Kennedy. It's a documentary about hecklers. Uh-huh. It's a documentary about hecklers and critics. And this isn't really a spoiler because it's a documentary, but he actually finds his worst critics and gets them in a room and like makes them feel bad for what they've done. And they're all like 17-year-old pimply boys who have these really popular websites. And then there's a guy in Germany, some filmmaker in Germany, who actually has a boxing match in Canada with a few of them and like beats the crap out of them in the ring. It's pretty funny.
Wow.
But it's really good. It's a good movie for anybody who does something in public and gets bummed out about haters. I mean,
watching the pimply teenage kids get beat up, I think that's the whole point of the movie, right? That's like catharsis for any content producers.
And it also like puts it into perspective of like really famous people that you know and respect going like, God, this shit, this crap ruins my day, man. We're not alone. So we'll have an
and that's
even
on
better
Netflix streaming too. It always comes up in my you should watch queue.
And I have some criticism of that movie, and he says he likes constructive criticism, but not haters. So I have some constructive criticism of that movie when we get back.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Freedom Fiends Radio. Click on the blue listen link at freedomfiends.com, streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. The Freedom Fiends agenda is Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty chat about market anarchy, self-defense, real money, the digital police state, activism, DIY media, sex pets, and rock and roll. Call in soon before they get droned. Live studio number 307-215-5171 or via Skype to username kittyfeet1. Listen live at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
I kind of feel like media is so disposable, or not disposable, but like you watch it streaming and then watch eight more things streaming, that like saying you should buy someone a gift of like a DVD is kind of like, really? That's kind of not a very good gift.
I agree not to. Yeah.
Excepting for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, and Gun Training for Non-Aggression, which are really getting, they're getting so many downloads on Torrent, man, on the Torrent C-Box.
That's what we want, man. That's what we want.
Yeah. I mean,
we made it so people would watch it, not so that we would be billionaires or something.
I mean, there's a lot of people downloading all of our stuff, you know, all of our podcasts, but there's way more people downloading the, which are much bigger files, the DVD ISOs, basically because DVDs cost money and podcasts don't, I think. You know, DVD, in the torrenting world, where like the more...
Hold on, we're going to come back like soon.
All right. Where the more stuff you have on the hard drive, the cooler you are. DVDs are cooler than podcasts.
Right. All right, it's Freedom Fiends live on LRN and on our own streaming server, too. You get to hear our mindless chatter in between the breaks. If you go to our feed, just go to freedomfiends.com, click on the Listen Now tab on the right of the screen.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like on The Simpsons where they show the satellite feed of between the newscast where you see the newscaster... The thin man in the suit on TV leaning over and making himself vomit into a bucket and going, I'm so fat.
Right. So we were talking about disposable media, and I was telling Michael, me and my wife like to sit on the couch and just go through like internet junk food, like Lolcats and Geek Phil, and Lame Book is also a really funny one. And Michael's kind of like, whatever, dude. But here's my favorite from Lame Book. Because what Lame Book does is it shows you how dumb people can be, and by proxy makes you feel really good about yourself. So here's one of Shervon's statuses that somebody captured from Facebook. Shervon says, I think Titanic is fake because, comma, how do they record it when they are like all dying in water?
Yeah.
And then her friend Angelica says, Angelica says, it's a remake of what actually happened, isn't it? And then Shervon responds, so the people in the movie aren't alive?
And those people can vote. Well, actually, that's kind of something that is pointed out in that movie Heckler, is basically that what used to be heckling is now done on the internet and called, you know, reviews.
Right.
And the people that get the most popular doing it have the most scathing reviews. So Jamie Kennedy said, you know, I love constructive criticism. I just hate it when they go, this guy sucks and should be wiped off the face of the earth. So my constructive criticism with that movie is the sound levels between interviews are not good. I would have done a much better job. Hire me next time, or Nima. It looks like a rough cut. It sounds like a rough cut. And I don't understand that because, you know, I mean, the guy is, like, talks about aspiring to be the next Adam Sandler. I got Adam Sandler's sound guy, Dave Bach, B-A-C-H, not B-O-C-K, who's also my friend and a sound engineer. I got Adam Sandler's sound guy, the guy who does sound mix on every one of Adam Sandler's movies. I paid him $5,000 to do, you know, $20,000 worth of sound work on my independent Hubert Selby documentary. So why... Jamie Kennedy must know some Hollywood sound guys. He's been in some big Hollywood, you know, disposable movies. Why doesn't he hire one of them? You know?
Why would that make him be the next Adam Sandler, though?
Well, he's compared to Adam Sandler a lot in reviews, and it comes up a couple times in the movie. But, you know, he made movies like like the Straight Out of Malibu or Malibu's Most Wanted. I mean, that's a big Hollywood budget movie. Why couldn't he get the guy who did that and say, hey, you know, you do me a favor, I'll do you a favor next time. Let me slip you some money. I've got some. Do sound mix on this little documentary I made. Really good documentary. It's really good.
Heckler. Yeah. So go watch it. I can actually watch that one. Maybe I will actually watch
you
that
should.
One. So
I, can have I want you to watch that one because you will feel better about haters. And I know they've bugged you in the past. So,
yeah.
And actually, speaking of disposable income, when I was done watching...
disposable media or disposable income?
Disposable media. When I was done watching Half-Baked, it immediately said, you may also like Beavis and Butthead Do America. So I watched that again at 3 a.m.
Nice.
I watched it about five times. It's a much, much better movie, story-wise and script-wise, than Half-Baked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, I liked
Mike
it.
Mike Judge is awesome.
I liked that the punchline at the end is that Bill Clinton makes Beavis and Butthead honorary ATF members. That sounds about right to me.
Doesn't it, though?
So getting back to hate speech, there's another movie I really want to recommend that's good for aspiring podcasters and radio people, is a film called Talk Radio, which is made by, what's the director that did JFK? Stone. You know his name? Stone? Stone.
Yeah.
Come on.
Stone's his last name.
Yeah. What's his name? It's probably. Yeah,
I knew until you started questioning it. Then,
I started
you're
saying,
dumb.
Come on,
you're,
man.
You're dumb.
On.
You're dumb spread to me. Let's Stone film.
Alan Stone?
Google it.
No,
it's not.
Man,
Alan.
This is really not something to get hung up on. Anyway, there's this movie, Sharon Stone. No, that's not it. Talk Radio. It stars Alec Baldwin as basically Jack, you know, the same thing he plays.
Oliver Stone.
It stars Alec Baldwin, young, sexy Alec Baldwin, playing basically Jack from 30 Rock, but not funny. You know, he's the network executive of a bunch of radio stations, and the story is it's one of Stone's early movies, like before he really got famous, and it's based on very roughly on the life of Alan Berg, who was a talk radio guy who was Jewish and was murdered by some white supremacists for being loudmouthed and Jewish, and they didn't like that. So,
jeez.
And you know, the difference is, there's a big difference though in the real life to this movie, is that Alan Berg was kind of a quiet, non-confrontational guy, and his producers were like, you need to yell at these guys that call in more. It makes for better radio. Whereas the guy in this movie is just over the top, and Alec Baldwin and his other producer are trying to get him to be more, you know, mainstream, because they're trying to get him to go national. So, but it's a really good thing that shows the extreme end of hecklers, you know, of like, if you put yourself out there and anybody can hear you, of what can happen. It's kind of a scary movie, actually.
Talk Radio. Okay.
Yeah. Good movie. It's also for streaming on Netflix.
Okay. Awesome. So are we done with our movie talk now, or do we have other?
Yeah. I mean, I could have gotten this all out in the first 2 minutes, but it went good places. I liked it. Squirrel Master, man. Squirrel Master. Tommy Chong plays Squirrel Master. And you know how old guys like squirrels. So that's a good name for old man.
Yeah. I still don't get why old guys like squirrels, but I guess they're old.
You'll know when you get there.
One day, my son, you will know what it's like to love a squirrel.
It's because you've had more decades of humans disappointing you, and squirrels are just very reliable.
I don't know. I feel like squirrels are disappointing too. Like when you try to pet them and they bite your finger, that's pretty disappointing.
But they're reliable.
I've been disappointed by squirrels.
It's reliable that they will do that. So that's why you don't.
You don't feel reliable that people will always disappoint you?
Yeah, that's why I avoid them. But squirrels I can observe through my window. If I do that with people too long, they start to talk.
Well, if you work for the NSA, you can do it without anybody judging you, right?
Well, I want to say hello to the Central Scrutinizer. He's there in the chat room and he's listening today.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, Scrutinizer.
Yeah, someone said I should get a kickback from Netflix. I wish they had affiliate system.
Yeah.
Where not to sign people up, but like if they watch an individual movie by clicking your link, that'd be good.
That's what I was going to say. Have a link to the movie and you get some kind of, I don't know, credit. Credit towards your monthly fee.
It's actually hard to link a movie on Netflix. I've tried doing it. And then when people click on it, it says like, Michael Dean is not logged in. You know, like they don't make it easy like other sites.
Because the link must be specific to your account or
something.
Yeah.
It's weird.
You don't want other people logging into your account.
Yeah.
Although you can have like what, two or three people that can log into the same account?
No, I think that's a violation of, I don't know. I know that kids get in trouble in college for that, but I want to talk about something completely different because that's about, well, it's the opposite of, that's computer non-privacy. That's like things set to a person. I want to talk about Anonymous, the group Anonymous. I recant everything I said about them. Someone contacted me today by Pigeon.
Anonymous,
by
Pigeon. Anonymous contacted you?
Maybe. I wouldn't say that.
You don't know.
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. I have a very wrong view of Anonymous, and I did, and now I don't. They're not central. Most people who claim to be members aren't. They're mostly wannabes. The only requirement for so-called membership, and there's not even membership, but the only thing they all have in common, the real ones, is a hatred of censorship. You don't necessarily have to be a hacker. The guy was like, I listen to you guys. I listen to the Fiends. You guys pretty much are members of Anonymous. And I'm like, I ain't claiming that flag, man. I'm about to get drone enough as it is. But, he did convince me that we basically, and I was like, everything I'm seeing from them is not anarchist. It's all about like trying to fix governments. It's all anti-left, never against the right. And until Julian Assange was threatened by Obama, now they're kind of anti-everybody. And he said, no, there's a lot of people that are just like you, that are ANCAPs, that are members of Anonymous and don't necessarily do any hacking, but just it's a thing. And I was wrong. So there.
Okay.
And
so maybe it's a category then. But we can discuss that more coming up very soon.
Well, there's a guy who has a gun to my head. No, I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding. They're not like that. Central Scrutinizer has a gun to my head.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yay. Well, this is from Abby in chat room. She tells us this. It all makes sense now. Gay marriage and marijuana being legalized on the same day in Washington? Leviticus 20:13. If a man lays with another man as with a woman, he should be stoned. We've just been interpreting it wrong all along.
Yes.
Yes.
Today they should be stoned. ORG.
As is written, as is will be done.
Help get so LRN. Let it be written.
So let
ears.
It be done.
Visit promote.lrn.fm. Yeah.
So let it be podcast. So let it be done.
Fix and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
All right, we're back on the Fiends.
This Fiends is Alive. The Central Scrutinizer. Report for reindoctrination and relocation immediately. Name of Bobby and Michael Dean, please step out of your domicile. Put down your weapons, put down your bombs, and step outside your house and be prepared to be compliantly taken for peaceful re-education.
Sure thing. Just let me finish my bourbon. I'll be right there. Just wait there for me for another few minutes. I'll be out when I'm ready.
They have their own drugs at the reeducation plant. They use Compliacin, man.
Compliacin and Soma. Delicious.
So I saw a really... did we have anything to finish up on that movie? Or that
you said you
concept?
Did, but you did.
I don't know.
No. You must finish it.
Well, I have the name of this cast. It's State Speech is Hate Speech. That's a lot more concise and it rhymes.
Catchy. Yeah. Yeah. That's bumper sticker worthy. Or a bumper sticker format, at least. I don't know if it's worthy, but it's at least a format.
So I saw an NPR headline. It said, if you're not, it said, add this group to Obama's winning coalition, the religiously unaffiliated. And I was thinking, that's such like left, right, bizarro world, normal thinking of if you're not strongly religious, you must be an Obama supporter.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. That's retarded. I'm not strongly religious and I'm not an Obama supporter.
And, you know, I was kind of trying to like fit into my head where Ron Paul or to a lesser extent, Gary Johnson fits in all that. And it's basically it's the training wheels for anarchy. It's the I don't buy the left-right paradigm, and both those people are stupid, which is the thought you should have, but you should jump immediately to politics is BS. But when you're still kind of not quite there yet, you go, but there is a solution. I can vote for this guy who promises to use the government to reduce the size of government, which is kind of like, you know, trying to use cancer to cure cancer, I think. But
yeah, nice. Yeah. Well, the other thing I find that liberals and other various statists think about Ron Paul and something they get wrong is a problem with statists is they think that everybody should do what they think is right. Right. That's why they're statists. They think there should be one rule to rule all. And so they see that Ron Paul's Christian and anti-abortion and they immediately assume that he wants to impose his values on everyone else. The concept that Ron Paul says, I personally am anti-abortion, but I don't want the federal government involved. That does not compute to them. They're like brain explodes. They're like, what? You believe something and you don't want to point guns at everybody else to force them into your beliefs? People just don't get that.
Oh, and this entity that contacted me today regarding Anonymous, which, you know, I can't say anything else about. It said that a lot of people in Anonymous were Ron Paul supporters, which is good enough for me. I mean, I thought they were all Obama supporters. And then I was like, Obama wants to put you all in camps and cut off your weenuses. How could you possibly support him? But really, the people, a lot of the people who claim to be anonymous are, this entity told me that a lot of them are wannabes. And it's kind of like the Hell's Angels thing. Like those who say they are, aren't, and those who say they aren't are. That's how anonymous works. Apparently, according to some entity that contacted me that...
Yeah, he's not anonymous then, right? If he contacted you and was like, anonymous is this. Maybe it's an FBI agent souping you up for something later. Like, you must do some hacking, Michael Dean.
I don't know how to do hacking.
For anonymous.
Man. All I know is...
must hack for us.
All I can teach people is like the nuts and bolts basics of doing encrypted email and doing pigeon encrypted, which... And this guy had a really good... This guy doesn't use email and contacted me some other way and then got me on pigeon. And it was like, you know, I was like... Can you explain why people that are in the know use Pigeon and encrypted and not email? And he said, because when the NSA files this conversation, they'll file it as unknown talking encrypted to unknown. Whereas with email, they'd file it as Michael Dean talking encrypted to so-and-so.
Yeah, there's no name. So use Pigeon. Pigeon's awesome, man. I seriously love Pigeon. And I love it so much that I feel like I don't need to do encrypted email right now. I mean, I guess that was the point you just made. You know?
Yeah. I kind of think you should just so anonymous weirdos can – anonymous weirdos. So people you don't know, not anonymous, but you know.
The more tools you have at your disposal, the more work you can do.
Because there's like six people on your like three people on your Pigeon list, whereas anybody can contact you by.
But I like that though. I like that concept of Pigeon that only people who I have set up to talk to can talk to me on Pigeon.
Yeah, I just sent you a bunch of cat like typing by Pigeon. You know, there's a really funny I can't remember the name of it. It's called like Happy Birds or something. It's a Twitter account. And it's all like gibberish typing. And what it is, they have a picture of how they do it. The guy has a keyboard outside his window on his ledge with like bird food, like suet, you know, that gooey kind of bird food they love, like gooped onto the keyboards, and then a photo of birds pecking at it. And that's, and then he puts what they type on Twitter. It's awesome.
You old people, that only you would think that was awesome.
No, birds apparently like a half million typing. Other, about a half million people think it's awesome, but they're probably all old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That sounds like grannyware to me.
Yeah, grannyware. So, moving along. Let's see. I've recanted my statement about Anonymous. I have talked about how doing a podcast will get you killed. We've talked about the moral ethics of blowing up an old folks' home. Decided it wasn't was not ethical.
That was me. I'll take. Well, there, it was more nuanced than that. But you can listen to the archives if you want to hear the actual discussion.
I wanted to thank Travis York for the $40 donation, which is awesome. $20 to the Fiends and $20 to me for user's manual, which is pretty cool. I guess I'm worth as much as the Fiends together. No, I don't know. I'm kidding. We had the Pushy Bottom remix and Bomb record Love Sucker. Oh, we're talking about Bombs again. My band Bomb put that up on the torrent feed, so that's there if you want it. I'm doing something interesting with the mix today. I want to try an experiment. We've been putting these out all mono for a while because Mumble, the thing we talk with to each other on, is mono. But all of our bumps are stereo and use the stereo spectrum to make it sound cooler. So this episode, I'm going to put up, it's going to be a stereo MP3, but the parts where we're talking are mono, but all the bumps are going to be stereo. So I would love feedback on that and see if you like it. I tried it the other day on a cast. I forgot to mention it, but then I skipped it for a cast, and then I'm going to do it this cast. So let me know.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's, I don't know, maybe it's only audio geeks that will appreciate it. I don't know. I don't think so. I just know that whenever I make a bump for us to use, I always use the stereo spectrum in the production of it, and I feel like that work should be acknowledged somehow, but it never is. It something that sounds really cool stereo, like electric piano, sounds just kind of boring in mono.
Yeah. The problem is there's probably a bit of sacrifice here because the parts where we're talking probably won't sound quite as good because a mono MP3 at the same bit rate has a little higher quality than a stereo if it's just one channel split both ways. So people can let us know, but I think at this point we sound so damn good it ain't gonna make a difference.
Yeah, at least I hope so. I hope so.
So I paid the streaming server for a year. It was $203, and there was an F up due to PayPal or Voskast. I'm not sure who. It was like I'd been saving all the Fiends donations and had like $150, and I put in $50 my own money in my PayPal, so I had $203.40, which is what it costs for a year. And we were going month to month, but I decided to put everything to yearly because it's a lot easier for me to do. So on December 6th, it was supposed to go to yearly. On December 5th, and I was going to cancel, you know, on the 5th, I was going to cancel our monthly subscription and make it yearly and pay for it for a year because you lose the time when you cancel. So on a day early, either PayPal or Voskast, I don't know yet who, went ahead and charged us for $16. So there was $16.95 short in my PayPal. So I immediately wrote him an angry letter, then tried to transfer the $17 from my bank into the PayPal, and it said it wouldn't be available for 3 days. So the only way to rectify this was to get someone to donate like $17. So I really felt like I was begging and I felt bad and I hated doing this, but I went on Facebook and said, anybody out there who's been thinking of donating to the Fiends, today'd be a good day to do it. I need like $20. Here's why. You know, that would allow for PayPal fees. I said, I need like $20. Here's why. And explained it. And Adam W. Did it. He went ahead and did it. So I sent him a bunch of buttons and some DVDs and a whole bunch of stuff free. One of the very last Right Arm Wyoming CD, you know, I sent him like over $20 worth of stuff as a present, even though he wasn't expecting it.
Nice.
And that's not something I guarantee I'll do every time a Fiend helps us, but that's the kind of stuff we do sometimes when we can afford it, when people help us. So, thanks to Adam W for saving grandma's internet farm, and, worms to you, man.
Worms. All right. We're going to talk more, and once we get back from the break, I'm going to private message somebody here on the chat room. No, I'm just going to message. Can you private message somebody in the chat room?
You can IM. I mean, it's not encrypted or anything, but yeah. You can just click on their name, right? Click on their name, left click on their name, Don't hit the ban. Don't ban them by accident. Just hit PM. Okay. Who are you going to talk to? Central Scrutinizer?
No.
Okay.
None of your business. We're going to break. Peace.
Worms.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Yo, it's Freedom Fiends live, ho. Can I say ho? Ho is like, you know, a garden tool, so I can say that.
Yeah.
You know,
Rake. What's up, Rake?
What's up, Rake? My grandma-in-law once at a holiday party was like, oh, yesterday I was just out hoeing all day long. And I swear I couldn't help it. I just burst out laughing. And I didn't even feel bad, but my wife felt bad. So I guess I should feel some kind of remorse. But when somebody says I've been out hoeing all day, how can you not laugh? Can anybody not laugh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm typing. I'm stealing time from the fiends. So I want to talk about my new podcast setup. Well, the protection of it. Basically, what I have is I have about five tables in my room, like four in a line across one wall. One of them points out the window. It's where my main computer is, so I can see the squirrels being married. I mean, Mary. And then there's one to the left. And then there's one on my left that has my pod set up. It has my preamp, my mixer, my microphone stand, gooseneck, the...
Your pod? You just coined that? Is the place where you podcast at now pod?
My pod. I think a word your got pod. Cut off. I said pod setup. And then the computer I use for recording and Mumble, and the computer I use to take Skype and phone calls. So, and that stuff, like, I pretty much don't use it any other time unless I'm recording some voiceover for the fiends. But it's like every time I would have to set everything up and plug it in. So I just left it all set up, plugged it all into a separate power strip so I can turn it all on with one switch. And then covered it with a towel. I went and bought a really nice towel at Walmart, a huge, giant, really plush, dark colored towel, black towel, dark blue, and just drape it over it. And immediately the cats went, oh, you built a place for us to sit. And you said that would irritate you, but I kind of like it because I can't keep them off something. You know, it's like herding cats. So it happens to be a really good backdrop to photograph both our cats on. It's kind of like a professional photographer's studio where they have, you know, things draped in the background. So I got some really good photos of Fuzzy up there sticking his tongue out. And I think I'll use one for today's cast, even though it has nothing to do with the name of today's cast. But I have noticed that the casts that have either hot chicks or cats in the picture
get the most clicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. All of my podcast and music recording gear is all spirited away in a corner of the house that's closed off from everything else. Now, if the cats, there's like three layers of protection. There's like a bedroom door, and then there's a bathroom door, and then there's a closet door. Sometimes the cats are diligent enough. Like whenever they're in a position to go in there when the door is open to my podcat or my pod, they'll zoom in. You know, it's vacuum. They will zoom in, and I will have to grab them by the scruff and be like, out of here. You know, but I do not tolerate cats on my gear, man.
Do your cats exhibit the ass vacuum phenomenon where you get up from a couch and before you can even turn around, they're sitting in the trench your ass made?
More than anything, though, it's a pod vacuum. Whenever I open the door to my pod where I podcast.
Well, I really liked your story. They are pod cats. I really liked your story about, and we call podcasts podcats, or, hey, Nima, you want a podcat now? I'll, you know, Skype you. I'll message you or pigeon you. I used to message you, but now I like pigeoning you because I can see when you're online, and it doesn't cost me 15 cents to send you a message, you know, and I'm not going to pay for...
And that's the only thing I don't like about pigeon.
is I can tell when you're online?
Yeah, man, I could be baiting, and Michael's like, hey, you there? I'm like,
Well, you can set it very easily to away, but you have to remember to put it back when you're done baiting.
And I don't. I just leave it on.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I tend to
that's
get
my
you
fault. You, my fault. But whatever.
When you come home from work at 3 a.m, all of a sudden you sit down, turn on your computer, and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, look at this cat picture.
Yeah.
And it's encrypted. So the NSA is like, what are they passing back and forth? Cat pictures. Yes. They drive the internet. But I really liked your story. I really liked your story about, which is what you should do. You should use encryption even for your cat photos. Because if you don't, if you only use it for things you don't want them to hear, you know, then it's kind of weird. But if everybody's using it all the time for even their cat pictures, it's a normal thing. And it's normal. More like, you know, finding the needle in the warehouse full of haystacks.
Right, right. Normalize of the needle all good in the behavior.
Normalize all the things. So I really liked how you talked about your cats seceding from the union, where they you had a room that was full of like furniture, and it, you know, you couldn't get in there. It was just full of old stuff, storage room, and the cats like went and hid in the back of the room where you couldn't get to them, and just said, "Screw you guys, we're out of here."
Yeah.
But wouldn't they come out for food and poo, or would they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would. They would. And that's how we got them, is eventually they had to come out. You know, they couldn't, they weren't self-sufficient, you know, they had to depend on us for their food and sustenance. So once they left, we just closed that door and said, ha, how's that for secession, bitches?
Isolationism.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of countries and things like that, I found out something interesting about iTunes, because somebody posted a review on iTunes and sent it to me, and it was a cool review for our podcast on iTunes. And they said it didn't post yet, but it should post, you know, it says it'll post within a day. And then they wrote me about 12 hours later and said, oh, it posted. And I went and looked and it wasn't there. And there've been a couple people who've written me and said that. And then what we figured out was that guy and the other people who I couldn't see their reviews are in Canada, and iTunes segregates reviews by country. So if you're in America and you're logged in with an American account, you only see the American reviews. So you have to go to the little flag in the bottom right corner of iTunes Store and click on it, and then you get options for all the other countries, and you can see reviews. You know, like people are going to be offended by reading a Canadian review of some positive review of something they want to buy or take for free. What is that? What's that about?
I don't know, but I know licensing is different for all countries, so maybe it's related to that. Like maybe in the agreement they have with content producers, there was something, well, we don't even sell to that market, so they don't have any right to comment on it. And maybe that's where it comes from.
Steve Jobs made jail cool. That's what he did. Richard Stallman said.
But it's not just that, it's the whole state apparatus of having different geographical regions where you have to have different rules, you have to set up a different agreement with different governments, and it can muck things up. When I worked for a big e-commerce site, and mostly what I did was tech stuff for a tablet type thing that they sell content through, people would call and be like, well, I'm in this country, how come I can't watch Netflix? How come I can't watch this show? How come I can't watch that show? And I'd be like, you know, it's not our fault. That's the government. That's the government.
Which is why if you use a VPN and you're silly enough to use it for things you're logged in for, which does identify you and kind of defeats a VPN, you should definitely get one that has your country as one of the options. Most people want to just go, oh, I want to look like I'm as far away as I can. But you ain't going to be able to watch Netflix unless if you're America, unless you're logged in through America.
Right. Which why I'm so glad that Bola VPN now does have an American routing for a VPN. It makes everything so much easier. But yeah, man, it's just really silly to me that there's all these arbitrary rules, and the uninformed might blame it on corporations wanting to get more money for selling it in different places and exploiting different markets, but they can't do that without the force of the state. So look at the cause of the problem, not the symptom.
So speaking of the force of the state, look at the first link I just sent you. It's about the beginning of intellectual property laws. The Statute of Anne, which was an act of the Great Parliament of Britain, the first statute to provide for copyright regulation by government and courts rather than by private parties. 1710. So that's when it all went downhill. And really, I mean, do you want to like run your life by something that was invented by a bunch of old poofters wearing white powdered wigs?
Hell
Which
no.
is how they
Hell
still no. dress. You know, have you ever seen Law and Order UK? It's really funny.
Is that a thing?
I found it channel surfing, and I thought I was watching a Saturday Night Live skit because it looked just like Law and Order. It had the bink bink at the beginning of each segment.
Dung, dung.
And but in the first like 2 seconds or 10 seconds of watching it, they used like every British slang that I could imagine you'd use in a parody. Like, well, put on your pullover and we'll take the lift to the, you know, just like, come on, man.
This we'll put some bangers in our mouth before tea.
Yes, yes. And then they showed a courtroom scene and it was like, you know, everybody was wearing the white wigs. And I'm like, they don't really do that. This has got to be a joke. And DJ's like, no, no. The judges and the barristers, right? The attorneys, DJ, wear the wigs. Yeah, barristers or lawyers. Yeah, the lawyers and the judges. And one of them was like a black dude. And I was like, wow, that looks really funny, man. A black dude wearing a white
powdered wig. They don't wear the wigs, but in America, they still wear the dresses. So
yeah, and they still have all of the BS that came from the British court system.
Right.
Like a judge. Your Honor. All right.
More judging of the judge.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yo.
Yo. What the do? What it do? What does it do? I think that's the correct way to say it. So, we are back on Freedom Fiends Live, and we've got things to talk about, ideally. So, what do you want to go for first, Mr. Dean?
Why is the U.S. government planning for mass fatalities?
It's a good question, and this has been talked about before. There's a FEMA... Is it a bill? Yeah, I guess it's a bill. And it's FEMA and Homeland Security basically laying out how they're going to prepare for... The bill title is Mass Fatality Planning and Religious Considerations Act. So
yeah.
I guess what it is them working with clergy members and people like that to figure out what to do if there are mass emergency deaths and how the clergymen can, you know, say rites to all these people before they throw them in a mass grave or whatever it is. I don't know, man. I heard Ben Stone talk about it, and he was saying, well, this is kind of just what they do. It doesn't necessarily mean they're planning anything horrible, but it's the government, you know, I guess, I don't know, I guess just preparing to be in there whenever any emergency happens, you know, making sure that every contingency the government has their finger on the pulse of and their hand on it because they want to control every aspect of life. So it couldn't be, it's not necessarily something like we're planning to kill everybody and this is how we're going to deal with
it. That's how a lot of people took it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know, maybe there's something more to that, but I mean, there's also something to be said for the fact that what FEMA does and what Homeland Security does is they presume
good for America.
That they are
FEMA is what FEMA does is right for America.
Well, they presume they're the masters of the universe and they assume that if anything wrong happens, they should make sure that their foot's in the door first and that they get to run the show. That's their libido dominandi, right? That's their power lust.
Which is interesting because the whole idea of FEMA or planning to do this and that kind of came out of some talk around the time that they emerged from the civil defense planning people, which are the people that made those, you know, funny little duck and cover videos or movies in the 60s that were shown to me and DJ to terrify us.
Your particle board desk will protect you from a massive nuclear explosion.
Yeah, which is really, I mean, talk about security theater. I mean, that's a lot more low tech than $100,000 backscatter scanning, but it's the same idea. It's the idea that, oh, the government will keep you safe. This is the same government.
Did desk manufacturers back then have like national defense lines that had like lead
they probably funded that organization though or had lobbyists to get that to happen you know, I mean, yeah, I mean,
General Electric desk will protect you from any nuclear attack.
Okay, Jack, that's a nice story, but I don't hear my name in it. But Michael. It came out of like discussions on the early you know, like sovereign, not sovereigns, but patriot movement, you know, in the early 90s on the internet or before the web, even on chat groups of like, well, this thing FEMA is coming out and it seems like it would be poised to deliver the tyranny. So it kind of developed out of that. I mean, I really think all aspects of government are going to be initiating tyranny in any kind of shice hits the fan situation. But, you know, everyone thinks FEMA is the big bad wolf. But I don't know, man. I think the National Guard and the local cops are just as much of a threat to, if not more, to your life and freedom.
Yeah, and they're closer to you, and they have guns. I mean, there's people just probably, down the street, you know, with government guns.
In a town like Casper, they probably know your name. They probably know where the weirdos live. So
and they
yeah,
know where you live. They know your name. Yeah.
But the lady who is this lady did put forth a bill of like, we need to steal a bunch of government money to figure out how to bury everyone with proper religious respect if millions of people die in America. Laura Richardson, who is a really scary kind of dictionary definition of nanny Democrat. She's a U.S. representative of California's 37th congressional district, Long Beach, Compton, Signal Hill,
LBC, Carson. Baby. She's the GOG's representative.
Yeah.
Maybe she convinced him to become Snoop Lion.
Yeah, she's really anti-gun. She's really pro. She's not very pro-weed, actually, which is kind of weird, but pro-gay marriage, pro-welfare, pro, you know, everything. Everything we don't like. But yeah, so do you got more to say on that?
Well, she's also pro-NDAA. She voted for that. You know, an interesting thing I heard when listening to Scott Horton was Obama has yet to veto an NDAA, even though he would have to veto it in order to do things like close Guantanamo, because there's clauses in the NDAA that basically keep Guantanamo alive. Whereas Obama still goes on things like Jon Stewart and still says it's his goal. Well, yeah, right. All you have to do is veto the damn NDAA if you're going to do anything towards that. George Bush actually apparently did veto an NDAA. So even George Bush had the balls to veto one of these things, because every year there's an NDAA and each year there's horrible things in it.
Laura Richardson, who is the inventor of this bill of we need to know how to bury millions of Americans with proper religious respect after we cause them to die somehow. She also supported building 40,000 more prison beds in California at the cost of $7.4 billion. And she also voted for a controversial update on the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that would allow Americans to be spied on.
Wow.
Yeah.
She is just awful.
She is... really beyond, she's even beyond just nanny Democrat. She is nanny Democrat that wants everyone controlled and spied on and thrown in prison.
Although,
who doesn't agree with her or doesn't do what?
Why do
Americans
we really
should.
Have to single out one person here? I mean, I feel like the whole Congress is complicit in this.
Well,
thing,
I think that this bill didn't, if you want to talk in minarchist patriot kind of stuff, which we'll put on that hat for a minute, even though mine is like under a pile of cat fur somewhere. I haven't put it on in so long. I think she was the only person that backed this bill.
Was she introduced it? Was she the? I mean, she can't be the only person to have voted for it. Did they even vote on it? I don't know, man.
I don't
know more.
There's
about
a lot
these
of.
Things.
There's a lot of. We don't care. Does the thing that we don't believe should exist and we're trying to imagine into not existing? How does it work? We should know the innermost workings of everything it does. No, we shouldn't. That's screw it. Yeah. It's not really square. It's just, man, there's only so much room for so much math in my head. And, you know, using the 3D printable, the 3D printer hooked up to my brain to print LibPair takes a lot of computational power. 24/7.
You don't have the resources to give to pointing to direct action on Congress, because everything they do is evil. That's all you have to do is say everything they do is evil.
Yeah.
Why should I
but some
consider
stuff
the morality of each different act?
Some stuff just sounds enough more evil than others that I want to pick it out and make fun of it like this. And that's all I got to say, because I want to go on to kite photography, which is pretty damn awesome. It's basically like your own drone without licensing or the expense. You know, it's taking pictures from kites, and there is some really awesome stuff on this site. I'm going to link it, and people can enjoy falling down this wormhole with us of kite photography.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing stuff. So I guess the concept is you have a kite and you strap a digital camera to it, right?
Yep.
How do and you?
Some of this was done even pre-digital. Like, how do you trigger it? How do you trigger it?
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
Actually, there's a way to do it by take one shot by melting an ice cube and then the string is released. But I'm sure that there's other ways to do it, radio controlled or timed or whatever. Now with digital,
timed. I mean, that's what I was
digital
thinking.
Camera, you can just set it up to take enough pictures and pictures in a row until it stops taking pictures. Pretty much
until it runs out of memory.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Cool. Yeah. We'll have more Freedom Fiends coming up after we sell some things.
Photography.
KitePhotography.com.
Yeah.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Oh, it's Freedom Fiends Live. We are a call-in show, but we have not given out the number, and I don't even know if you had the thing on, but I guess we could do that now. We've only got 2 seconds left.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and give us a call at 307-215-5171 if you've got things you want to talk about. Did you want to continue on kite photography, or do you
want
to move on?
It's really, really cool. And you mentioned someone taking a photograph from space for not that much money.
Yeah, I think we talked about that on the cast before. There was a group of, I don't know if they were college kids or teenagers in high school or something, but for a lark, they floated up a digital camera in an apparatus to the atmosphere, like through the atmosphere into pretty much low Earth orbit, and took a picture of the Earth that looked like, you know, one of those NASA pictures from space. Spent like $200 on it. And then they got this amazing set of photographs of Earth. And yeah, they're like, "Yeah, didn't take any government funding, just some kids on a lark or having fun, you know." We don't need NASA. Screw NASA is, I guess, the point of that story. I listened to a set of podcasts yesterday that I felt was really good for this time of year, since it's, December 7th was a few days ago and day that will live in infamy.
Why is that? Is that your birthday?
December 7th? Yes, that's my birthday.
No, what is it?
Pearl Harbor. You're not up on that.
Oh.
Part of statist propaganda.
Oh, the 1940s.
Why would my birthday be the day to live in infamy?
I'm a birther, man. I'm a birther. I don't believe that. I think that was all an inside job. I mean, not a birther, a truther. I don't know if I'm a truther about 9/11, but I think something was wrong with the official story. And I think that it was caused by U.S. actions, if not caused by the U.S. World War II, I mean, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, isn't there a big theory that I subscribe to that maybe that was a false flag operation done by the U.S. or allowed, maybe?
Allowed would be the word. And it's not even contested in higher circles
I've seen that on
of academia.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that on like Discovery Channel, you know?
Right, right. So the really smart statists now, they don't deny it because it's really not deniable anymore. What they do is they say, well, FDR did the right thing. He lied to America, but it's like a doctor lying to the patient in order to save his health. So the really smart statists in academia don't disagree with the fact that FDR knew it was coming and to some extent provoked it. If you want the Liberty take on this, though, listen to Ben Stone as part four of a series he's done on war was about Pearl Harbor. And then it seems like everybody did a bit on this. Not only did he do it, but then Lou Rockwell actually interviewed John Denson for a Lou Rockwell show. I think his name's John Denson. I don't know. Denson's the last name, but he's a guy who wrote a book called Century of War, which I think Ben got a lot of his source material from either that book or other books by John Denson. And so those two, like in a row, if you listen to them, you sort of get a really good picture of Pearl Harbor and how it happened. Basically, and I sort of knew this, but it was nice to get the details. more details on it. Basically, the Americans had been embargoing the Japanese for a lot of their important materials, kind of like what America's doing to Iran now. They implemented an embargo. The Japanese couldn't get oil anymore. They couldn't get rubber. They couldn't get like steel. They couldn't get anything they needed for industry. Now, of course, Japan was using all of these things for their evil empire. So, yeah, there's that. But the Japanese were in a position where they felt like they could either lose their empire through America starving them to death by embargoing them, or they could try to hit America really hard and see if America would back off. And a lot of the people in Japanese parliament didn't think that it would work, but they felt like they had nothing else to do. What FDR actually did was he set up the situation to where the Japanese would attack us at a point to where it wouldn't hurt our military capabilities. What he did is he got all the battleships together in Pearl Harbor, which is a horrible harbor to defend. It's basically like a gooseneck and then a big thing. And he also had all the planes pushed together so that the planes could all get blown up, so he could say that that happened. And meanwhile, all the carrier groups, which naval warfare at that time didn't even need battleships in the old sense. He put all the old battleships, all the ones that they wanted to get rid of for scrap metal anyway, were the ones that got destroyed at Pearl Harbor. He meanwhile had his carrier group strategically placed in good positions so they wouldn't be attacked. And he had Wake Island and Midway Island fortified because he knew the Japanese were coming. Meanwhile, he left Pearl Harbor completely undefended. So it was pretty much set up to where Pearl Harbor would be attacked, and then FDR could go to war with Japan and Germany at the same time.
You know what fact I really like about the Navy?
What?
DJ's dad is a Navy vet, and many years ago when Old Navy, the store, first started, DJ took her dad to it, and he was really disappointed that they weren't a Navy surplus store. He's like, there's no Old Navy clothes in here. False advertising. someone just basically called me a preppy in the chat room. Abby, I said, we're talking about where we're from, and I said that I was from Westfield, New York, and I used to summer in Chautauqua, and she said, your class summer is showing if you use summer as a verb.
That's very true. Yeah. Summer.
But I went to all a prep summers school. I'm literally a preppy, so yeah.
Yeah,
yes, Biff and Cliff and Trent and I would summer in Chautauqua. Actually, I knew a guy named Biff and I knew a guy named Trent at my prep school. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And a guy named Tripp, who was somebody the third. Douglas Arthur Hilsinger. What was it that somebody said about my band Bomb? The one where we put all the credits, we used our full names with middle names on the credits, and it was like Michael Wareham Dean, Douglas Arthur Hilsinger, J. Morgan Crawford, and someone said, is this a yacht club or a band?
Seriously, yeah, Wareham sort of gives you away, doesn't it?
Yeah, although Tony Fagg, well, he used his full name, which was Anthony Michael Small. Oh, okay. But it's, yeah. It's actually
would have
Filipino.
Been funnier if it were some like Italian word with fag.
Fagato. Well, he is Italian. He's Italian and Filipino. So Fagato. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
What does this have to do with liberty? Where is the non-aggression principle in all this? Well,
I was talking about FDR lying us
cares,
into war,
man?
And you wanted to talk about Biff.
I want to talk about Biff and Trent,
you know,
and Brent.
Here's why
and
I care.
Muffy.
And I had this discussion earlier before we did today's show. Is my mother-in-law was like, well, we should go see a movie. I was thinking about seeing Lincoln. And my wife was like, don't bring up Lincoln. Don't bring up Lincoln. And then I went off on it. And she's like, well, who cares? It's a movie. Just like you're saying now. And the point is,
well, it'd be like watching a movie about how great Hitler was. I don't want to do that either.
But these are the myths. And the mother-in-law was like, yeah, well, you're probably right. And maybe I don't believe the bullshit. But it's a movie. I just want to be entertained. The problem is that it's a myth. Mythology and the state, when we argue that the state is mythology and we have to change the mindsets, we'll never do that if we let these myths keep perpetuating.
Yeah, it's
kind of
hard.
Never do that.
It's kind of hard to be a libertarian or an anarchist or a freedom fiend and enjoy a lot of media, especially historical type media, because, you know, I can use suspension of disbelief. Like I can watch a cartoon where, you know, there's flying robots, but well, I guess we have that anyway, but you know, where there's a flying robot named Bender and he's your friend. I can suspend my disbelief for that, but I can't suspend my disbelief of morality.
You can't suspend the disbelief of statism.
Yeah, I can't like go, oh yes, Lincoln, I can forget that he killed more Americans than Hitler and didn't have to to end something that was ending anyway, you know?
Well, to me, that's the point. And that's why when you say, why, who cares? Why does that matter? Because you never convince people if you don't get rid of the origin myths of the state. The origin myth of the state is the root of it. And anything else we do, we're just hacking at the symptoms of it. And we're falling into the same trap that all other people who try to change things fall into, is you have to do what Ben Stone says and pull the hair and let them yak out their statism. And we're not going to get them sick enough to yak unless we explain to them that FDR was a murderer, Lincoln was a murderer, and then we pull back their hair so they can yak out the status.
Yeah,
that's really important.
Not only a murderer, but a murderer who didn't have to murder to do. You know, people say, well, it was worth it because we had to kill all those bad Southerners because they wanted slavery, and it's like, no, slavery was on its way out anyway, man.
But with the FDR thing, okay, it's not just that he was a murderer, but those people at Pearl Harbor, the people who died in the attack, they were expendable to him. He knew the attack was coming.
They were Americans who were expendable. A guy who said America, you know, a guy who believed that American, who presented the belief that Americans are more valuable than anyone else, who would just use some as bait to murder, to allow to be murdered, to get his way, to go kill more people and sell more bombs, man. It was the beginning of the military industrial complex, really.
Yep, exactly. Or at least the beginning of it growing to this giant, horrible thing that is now. But we'll have some redemption in the third act.
To where there's a drone over my house, literally.
Yeah, literally.
Not your house, though.
Not yet.
Not that you know of.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
We are back. This is Nima Vedati. On the other end of the microphone, we got Michael W. Dean. And we got our last segment here, so we're just going to talk and let it ride out to the end.
We never gave out the number. I just turned off the phone computer so people cannot call.
I gave it out in the last segment. I gave it out in the last segment.
Screw them. Right. Screw our listeners. No, with kindness.
Screw them with kindness. When in a good way. Make love to our listeners.
F them is like a good thing, you know? Yeah. Someone wants you to get some.
It's a good thing if you want to be F'd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If not, then it's rape them. But nobody ever says that, huh?
Yeah. So, Buzzkill. Feds fire warning shot over pot legalization.
Yeah. What was their warning shot? Let's see. It looks like U.S. Attorney Jenny A. Durkin of Washington warned residents that growing, selling, or possessing any amount of marijuana remains illegal under federal law, is basically what she said in that Daria tone, or that Daria's friend tone.
I swear, man, federal attorneys are like the most square of the most tyrannical of all the people. They really are. I mean, they're the guys that like entrapped the coolest guy in the world. When I was a kid, the coolest guy in the world was Cheech and Chong. They were the coolest guys in the world. She went out of her way to like falsely arrest him, you know, or one of them did. They're all interchangeable to me.
I would say not only federal attorneys, but any government attorneys, which is where most prosecutors are. Like prosecutors are usually called like county attorneys.
It's what people want to be.
Or district attorneys. You
know, people aspire in law school to become that. It's a good cushy tax eater job where you always get to win pretty much.
Yeah, and it's a horrible, horrible thing. Like their philosophy is often, well, if they're innocent, it'll come out on appeal. They go balls. Don't care about of a case, they just want to throw people in jail is all they want. Did you see that thing where there was a college football coach and he had taken naked baby pictures and video of his kids or his kids had done it on his phone, and it wasn't really kiddie porn or anything. It's just, you know,
pictures
kids are
of his
naked
kids.
taking a bath, right? That's what kids do, is they take baths naked because they don't wear bathing suits to bathe. Who does? And somebody saw his phone and saw that and reported it to the county attorney or the prosecutor. And the guy pretty much lost his job. He's in suspension. I don't know if he got it back. Luckily, the judge was like, this is ridiculous. This is just family photos. But the prosecutor still didn't apologize. The prosecutor was still like, well, we're trying to enforce the law here. And the law is that you can't take naked pictures of kids. So this is the kind of mentality of prosecutors who end up becoming U.S. attorneys. So they don't care about actual morality or how things work. All they care about is looking tough and enforcing the law as they see it.
I was talking to someone recently who works in a law firm that does a lot of criminal defense. You know, people have been arrested. They call this kind of lawyer. And I said, what percentage of the cases you handle, you know, are the people that you're defending who are in jail, what percentage of them have committed actual crimes, you know, like assault, theft, fraud, et cetera. And he thought, and he was like, pretty close to zero. You know, it's all, it's all drug stuff. It's all possession of a gun that they're not allowed to have because they're on probation or something. I mean, they may have done something else. They may be on probation for assault or something, but whatever it is, like pretty close to 100% of what this guy said his firm does. And this is pretty common in that kind of defense law, is none of it is real crimes. Like none of it is stuff that would exist in LibPair as a crime.
Yeah. Although I guess it's good that the feds, at least lower level feds like federal attorneys, are starting to push back against this, because it shows their hand for what they really are. They're literally not giving a crap about the consent of the governed. The governed, even if you believe in democracy.
Oh, about the pot thing. You're talking about the pot thing.
Yeah. Back to the pot thing. Yeah. The governed have stated that they think it's fine if you want to smoke a frickin' joint.
Yeah, like nationally, more than 50% of people polled believe that pot should be legal as illegal as it is.
Right. And these people went through the process, right? You know, there are those old statists that are like, well, if you don't like the law, don't break it. Just go through the process and change it.
Right.
Well, they did.
They spent 20 years doing that. And finally, two states have legalized it. And the feds are like, oh, no, that doesn't count.
No, you can't.
You got to change our system too, which is like the federal system is so heavily weighed against the people and against, I mean, it, most of it, you know, occasionally they'll do something where they'll make a big thing of like, oh, we busted an actual child pornography ring where they were, you know, kidnapping children, or, you know, where women are being forced into prostitution, or where people were stealing credit cards and stealing identities. But that's really rare. What they generally trot out as their successes is, we found this guy with a bunch of guns and he is on parole for a bunch of weed, so he can't have guns. You know, and they'll say that's the guy that's our governor now in Wyoming that's supposed to be so pro-gun. He bragged about that as a federal attorney. And he you know, everyone voted him in like, oh, he says he'll protect our gun rights. What he's doing right now is he's trying to raise the tax on gasoline 10 cents a gallon, which really, you know, I mean, it's a very driving state. You have to do a lot of driving if you live or work here, if you're not me. And, you know, that's really going to cripple people, and it's going to pass. I mean, there's no like there's no consent of the governed in it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that's the good thing here. The second good thing is it helps to set the precedent for like you said, the battle, the showdown between states and the federal government, which, you know, states are still states. They're still tyrannical governments. But it sets that precedent of the smaller jurisdiction fighting the bigger jurisdiction. Hopefully, eventually, we can move that to where the individual is fighting against their city government and their state government and the federal government. And we can all believe in individual rights rather than state rights. I mean, why do you have to have a collective group to have rights? It's just ridiculous.
You know, it's interesting that like, for instance, the guy that does the 10th Amendment Center podcast, he's getting a lot of play now. Like, he's getting a lot of attention. And I'm not saying like that is rightfully ours, but it's kind of like, you know, I mean, he's literally on the watch list of the Southern Poverty Law Center because he's like, we must enforce the 10th Amendment and states' rights over federal rights. And you and I are like so much more anti-government, I guess, than he. I mean, it's not even anti-government. It's like, ugh, government. It's like non-government than him. That like, where's our page on the Southern Poverty Law Center? But it's like, it doesn't even count. It's like, if you're an anarcho-capitalist, you're like, oh, they don't even believe in the system. They're not even worth talking about. They're not a threat. The ones that are a threat are the ones that are getting voters to look at, you know, lawmakers to look at the 10th Amendment.
It's because my name sounds foreign, and their whole narrative is they're all fat, middle-aged white men that are racist.
Yeah.
That's the real reason they believe these ways. Yeah. It doesn't fit their narrative.
I'm a fat, middle-aged white guy who owns a bunch of guns and doesn't like the government. Where's my page?
I don't know. Here, well, I'll turn you into the Southern Poverty Law Center, and we'll see what they say.
Well, you can do that. Somebody else turned us into the White House, which I didn't really think was prudent in any way. I mean, I'm not going to not talk to that guy, but I'm like, you know, he turned the Obama's feet stink video into the White House through their snitch on your neighbor's link. And I was, the thing is, like, that's not going to get us any publicity like it would with the Southern Poverty Law Center. What they could do is just get it taken quietly taken off YouTube, which didn't happen. But, you know, really, I mean, you don't help us by saying, hey, White House goons hired off a pizza box. Check out the Freedom Fiends. No, you tell other people that are that might have questions about the validity of government, about the Freedom Fiends. That's how you help.
Yeah.
But you just turned me into the Southern Poverty Law Center. So
I will.
You're a good American. You're a good patriot.
I'm a good Merkin.
Merkin.
Say Merkin. Two syllables. Merkin. Yeah. Can. Are you a Merkin or are you a Merkant?
You know, speaking of non-governmental things, I kind of want to take people to task on Facebook who, for their anarchist group or a small government group, list from the drop-down menu on Facebook the type of organization as non-governmental organization or NGO. Unless you're doing that because you know what an NGO is and think it's funny, an anarchist group is not an NGO. It's pretty much the opposite. An NGO is basically an arm of the United Nations that is – it's not a part of a government, but it's part of the United Nations that influences government. It's kind of like a think tank for making government more oppressive and more one-worldy. So
it's a group who wants to influence the government and do things that the government doesn't have the resources or time to do. they want to basically impose things. And I don't know, I guess a lot of times that there's sort of a charity aspect to them, or they portray them as that way. But in general, I think they end up just mucking things up because it's top-down changes. It's like a white man's burden kind of thing is how I read it.
Yeah.
So NGOs are
one of the complaints I've seen about NGOs, you know, from people who actually believe there should be some government even, and I would agree with this too, is that NGOs, and this goes back to the white man's burden thing, they often have no physical contact with the underprivileged people they're supposed to be representing. Like they're literally like eggheads who sit in an office and analyze spreadsheets and then try to get the UN to point its guns in the right direction to make states add more laws.
Yeah, we don't need none of that. So been a be good warned.
Fiends. It's been a good
be
fiends,
warned.
Man. Been a good fiends.
Yeah, it's been a good fiends. Good fiends. And yeah. We're out. Peace.
Reducing my carbohydrate footprint of the state until it will drown itself in the bathtub.